Okay, welcome everyone to my show. Celebrity Josh is what we're calling it for now until I come up with a new name. If you're seeing this, you're watching it on YouTube. We're recording this on Skype, and I also take the audio and put it up as a podcast. So you have two options. And, well, our special guest today is Vanessa Ipp. And I'll just tell people, let's see, it's Sunday, May 31st. It's 9:55 p.m. She was very nice to do this late, because, oh, crap. All right, I just dropped my voice acting mic on the floor. What's going on here in this world is that I'm staying with my parents during this pandemic, and, yeah, so I'm setting up in my dad's little office here, and he's downstairs watching a movie, and, oh, you know what I'm going to do here? I'm going to twist my Skype, and I'm going to put it back on Do Not Disturb so I don't have a notification every 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, Vanessa was nice enough to say, okay, because I told her I was doing a comedy show, an online comedy show open mic tonight, and at 8 o'clock, she's like, you're doing it at 8? And I'm like, oh, well, my show's at 8, maybe done by 9. And she's like, okay. And then she's like, I was ready at 9, and now it's like almost 10. So I'm sorry. My act was in the middle, but then I watched I figured it was polite to watch the other people. And the last comic is a disabled comic, and he's talking about that. So that was interesting. I didn't want to just walk out on that. Yeah. So let's, you know, this is going to be like a subdued kind of nighttime podcast because it's dark out and everybody's in bed. And so Vanessa is, well, we were talking on LinkedIn, and I guess we messaged a while ago, and I mentioned like, oh, I could interview you. And, what, was that like a year ago or 2 years ago now?
I think it's like probably a few months ago, I think.
Yeah, in the fall kind of thing when I was, you know, messaging people and saying, hey, I might be doing a show. And I hadn't even at the time started interviewing people, so, or sometimes in person, but not over Skype. And I finally started that. So this is exciting that the stars have finally aligned. And I guess you just messaged me back like this week saying, hey, you know, we were talking and I want to do that interview now. Is that how it happened?
Yeah, and you also commented on my LinkedIn post recently.
Oh, right. That's how I said I could interview you about it, because you were announcing exciting news. So for people who don't know, well, nobody knows, you are you a first-year student, or you just finished first year, or what's going on?
I just finished first year at U of T in psych.
Okay, well, that's exciting. You're a frosh, and is that the Scarborough campus or right downtown?
Yeah, the Scarborough campus.
Okay. How is that different from the main one? It's just another place where people do it? Or is it for different types of scholars?
So there's no difference in terms of, like, what you get on your final degree certificate. Like, it doesn't say the campus, but in terms of, like, the actual location, the St. George campus is much, much bigger. It's probably like 3-4 times bigger than the Scarborough campus. Mm-hmm. But I chose Scarborough just because my dad works in Scarborough as well, so it's like easy for him to just drop me off on his way to work, that sort of thing. In general, I would say the psych professors at Scarborough are better, just in my experience. And then the Scarborough campus also has the co-op program.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's a bit more, feels like it might be more technical there, like co-op, and that, you know, maybe the downtown would be more artsy and, I don't know, more trees.
I'm not sure what Scarborough Yeah, definitely. Looks
like. Okay. And then, so what was your big announcement on LinkedIn that I commented on? It was something about something you're going to be doing or something?
Yeah, so recently I've been doing a lot of job searching for like a few months, and the university has this website where profs and TAs will post job postings, and there's this thing called a work study where they basically schedule your work, like your paid work, with your school time. Obviously, it's not really it doesn't really, I guess, make sense now because everything's online, but if it's in person, say you would have class from 2 to 3 p.m. and then you would work from 3 to 5 p.m., that sort of thing. So they're very flexible with schedule. And then recently I got a research position at the St. George campus for the Faculty of Social Work. And it was just really exciting for me because, you know, after like a month or two of job searching, it can get really frustrating and sad to see all these rejections and like, et cetera, et cetera.
And why were you specifically looking for a job, like during school, just to make money? Like it was going to be any job, or was it you were looking for a job that relates to your studies? Or
yeah, definitely something that related to my field and what I'm studying, which is psychology and sciences. And it was sort of just to continue what I was doing in the fall. So in the fall and winter last semester, I was having a work study position, but it was like for media. And then over the summer, I wanted something that was more focused on my field.
And so, and you started like this year right out of high school.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So did you already know that you wanted to go into psych? Like when I took psych in school, I just went to Glendon and I was like, I got into fine arts at Queens and York. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to learn just art. I want to learn about the world or something. I took a bit of everything, but I liked my psych course. So I wound up majoring in psych, but did you know right away, like going into school, like, oh, I'm going to take psych and I'm doing research and all this?
Yeah, so I knew I wanted to go into psych and specifically UTSC for psych because I used to be in therapy a while back. And then I quit therapy just because it wasn't for me. Like I felt like I had to say all these good things about myself and like what I was doing. So it just wasn't for me. Like it didn't fit my personality and my mindset at the time. But I guess I had this sort of realization that, oh, like what if we switch role? Like what if I was doing the therapist or the psychiatrist role? And that was just something that really interested me.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, that's great that you had that revelation. Because I'm sort of myself, especially this past month, I've come to regret every choice I made. I'm like, oh, maybe I should have kept going in psych and done a master's and a PhD, and then I could be a cool professor now. But instead, I went to Humber for advertising, and I guess it was fun. I was writing ads and stuff. I didn't know what else to do. But I'm like, I don't know. I never felt that I was helping the world or being all that challenged or whatever. So I like that you're like, no, wait a minute. I like doing this. I want to be a therapist. I want to help people. And you were just like, that's what I'm doing. So that's really cool. Cause I don't think I even knew what psychology was in high school. Like, cause they don't teach it there. Right.
Like, yeah, so they don't teach it. It's like only like the, so it's like one course that's for grade 11 or 12, but it's like a mixture of sociology, anthropology, and psychology. So like you get a little sliver. And then in university, there's like a bunch of broad like courses.
Cool. Well, that's very cool. So then now you're going to be doing research at St. George. So the whole thing about, oh, my dad will just drop me at Scarborough. Now you're going to wind up downtown anyways.
Yeah, if it ends up being in person, then yeah, I'll have to go in person for labs.
And what have you heard about like in terms of school in person or online for... I guess, are you done for the summer, but next year, or what's going on?
Yeah, so currently I'm taking courses in the summer, and it's all online. Fall, I know most universities like Waterloo and U of T are saying that, oh, we're going to have in-person classes or in-person labs, especially, but I don't think it's going to happen at this rate, especially.
Really? That's interesting, because I would think, it looks to me like everything's opening up. It's kind of like, you know, restaurants will just have more space and all the parks are open. And I don't know. I wouldn't think that, especially when I've heard, you know, younger people aren't as affected by the virus. And if they do get sick, it's not that bad. So it's like, why not let people go back to school? I guess it'll depend on the school. Or maybe in 2 months, they'll be like, hey, yeah, it's fine. So who knows? But I'm sure soon it'll open up again.
Yeah, because the thing with that, it's like, oh, students will head back to their families,
right.
Like in the evening after school with people who are vulnerable, that sort of thing. And then also within school, it's hard to regulate social distancing. and hard to regulate, like health procedures like hand sanitization, especially when it's like such a big university and like the hallways are cramped and like stairwells especially.
Right. Interesting. Okay. And you are never going to live in residence anyways. You're living at home while you go to school or whatever.
Yeah, I was planning to live off campus, so sort of rent a place, or I was looking into residence, but it's very, very expensive. It's like $200 or like $100 per week, when like you can get like a much cheaper place, like $500 to $600 per month.
Wait, $100 a week though? That would be $400 a month.
Maybe it's more than that. I don't know. Like, yeah, I remember doing the calculation sometimes with my parents, and it was very, very expensive. And it was, like, unreasonable for us to, well, not, like, financially, but, like, just compared to other places that were being offered.
Yeah, yeah, I guess it's, you know, you're paying a premium for the residence. And I think they probably charge, you know, they've got a food plan you got to sign up for and all the stuff. And, yeah, and if you do live... You know, if you can live at home or even get an apartment, then definitely different options. And it's all what you feel like doing. Like I'm very sentimental about my time in residence, you know, because there's nothing the equivalent of that when you're a grown up. It's like you're just literally in rooms beside your friends and you just walk down the hall and you all hang out. But I was just telling a friend of mine on WhatsApp, I was saying, gosh, you know, I'm even thinking of going back to school, like just to do a master's or something, but maybe I just wish I was back in school, like in residence. And he's like, yeah, Glennon sounds fun, because he says I think he went to Western or something, but he's like, it wasn't that great because he was living at home for that, so it's a different experience probably. But you can always get that experience somewhere else. You could go travel and stay in hostels or just visit your friends or whatever it is. What was I going to say? Yeah. I can't remember, but okay. So that's all fun. And so you've been, I guess you're at home right now and so you've been studying from home with like, do you have siblings? Like who are you quarantined with?
I'm an only child, so it's just my parents and my dog.
Oh, that's fun. At least you got a dog to keep yourself company.
Yeah. She's been loving quarantine. We're just home all the time. And she just, like, every time I walk up to her now, she rolls over because she wants belly rubs.
That's funny. Yeah, I've been sitting on my parents' porch here, and I just decided, because I kept seeing the same dogs walking by every day with their owners. And I said, I'm just going to meet these people. So I yell out to people, hey, what's your dog's name? And so now I've met them all. And so now, you know, if I see Copper the dog, I'm like, hey, Copper. And Copper's like, ah, because I gave her a little piece of turkey once. So now she probably senses that, oh, he's got something. And then the owner, like sometimes it's a girl that walks him, but sometimes it's the boyfriend. And then yesterday it was the boyfriend. And he's like, wow, she really likes you. And Copper kept pulling him back and looking back. I'm like, it's okay, Copper. I'll see you later. So maybe the boyfriend doesn't know about the turkey. But I like to think that Copper just likes me as a person or whatever.
Yeah, my dog has been meeting a lot of other dogs in the neighborhood, so I like to say that she has a ton of boyfriends now.
Oh, wow. Is she one of those dogs that likes other dogs or just likes people? Like, Copper is like, you know, I don't have time for other dogs, but, you know, but people are, like, she probably thinks she's a person herself or something.
Yeah, my dog hates other dogs. Well, not hates, but she's like scared of other dogs. So she doesn't like dogs that are really excited, like start like going up to her and like sniffing her. She's more of like she's bonded with dogs who are like calm, sort of just mind their own business, walk around her. And then yeah, she's very much a people person, and I think that's because as a little puppy when we got her, she was traumatized. Because we took her to a dog park, and there was this German Shepherd, and, like, at the time, she didn't know how big she was, so she just kept on, like, chasing the German Shepherd, trying to play with other dogs, and then that German Shepherd ended up chasing her, and then, gave her, like, a little nip on the, on the stomach, so she was hurt, and then, ever since then, she's been kind of really hesitant and scared of other dogs.
Yeah, which probably makes sense, because dogs are unpredictable, but... I mean, I guess people can be as well, but most people you meet are going to be nice. They're not going to hurt a dog, especially if you guys are around. So
yeah,
that's too bad. That's a tough lesson to learn, but maybe, well, I guess at least you're saying she's making friends with other dogs in the neighborhood. So is that what you were saying? Like she's going on walks and meeting the other dogs?
Yeah, I mean, some of the dogs are a little aggressive. Like, they like to bark at her, and she gets a little bit scared.
Oh my God.
But it's sort of just like over time, like, she needs to get used to the environment and the other dogs around.
Oh, that's cool. Did you get her? Where did you get her?
I got her from a breeder. Don't recommend. I think it's best to adopt is just because it was our first dog. We didn't want to deal with the health complications in case, and like we didn't want to deal with also having to pay for vet bills and like giving her all this medication, and then also trying to learn like her personality and taking care of her, that sort of thing. So we sort of just went with the breeder to minimize the amount of like health complications that she would have.
And it also, you then you know exactly what breed you're getting, so you know how to deal with it or whatever. What kind of
Yeah.
dog? Yeah, because I think my mom was saying this week, who was it? Somebody had as a dog, and then yeah, they got it from a breeder because they wanted a very specific whatever it was. What kind of dog is your dog?
She's a mini poodle, so she's like
Oh, cute.
hypoallergenic, which is good for my dad because he's like allergic to pollen and really sensitive to smells, so that's something we definitely wanted.
Yeah, when I was little, like I was 12, I really wanted a dog, and I think they had gotten a cat when I was born, but then realized my dad was really allergic. So then they're like, "No, you can't have a pet." But I'm like, "I want one." So I took out every book in the library on dogs, like learning how to train them and reading about all the breeds. And then I said, "Okay, there's a couple here. We could get a poodle or a Mexican hairless Chihuahua, which is this little thing that just has no hair for some reason." And they're like, "No," and they got me a couple of guinea pigs, so I would let them run around the house and. And I'd have to pick up their little poop. Or sometimes I think I even took them for walks. Like maybe I made a little leash or I put them in the backyard because I was like, I feel like they want to be out, but probably they would have been fine in their cage. I don't know. I think I was just projecting my own desires on them or whatever.
Yeah, sort of
But I'm.
treating your guinea pigs like dogs.
Yeah. But they're sort of smart. Like every time you open the fridge, they know that you're going to get food. So they'd be like, like they're like, oh, we're getting lettuce or whatever. So that's good. Well, I'm glad that you were able to find a solution so you could have your dog. My mom has even been talking today about a dog. She's like, oh, I might have to go to the Humane Society volunteer because I can't bring a dog here. Oh, that's right. She was on FaceTime with my sister and saying, I get a foster dog. And my dad's like, well, or was it my sister that said, no, like a foster dog you'd have to take home? And she, oh, right. I guess I can't. So I don't know. But she keeps saying to me, too, because I'm a digital nomad right now. Like, I was planning a travel and she's like, yeah, you better get a place and then you can get a dog. I'm like, yeah, but dogs are tough. Like, I guess if you've got a wife and kids and or parents or whatever and there's other people to take care of it. But I think if you're like an individual person and you might want to stay out at night or you might want to travel or whatever, it's very hard to have a dog because then you can't. Even when I had a girlfriend years ago, she was living with her parents, but her parents are like, we're not walking your dog. You have to get home to walk your dog. And so she's like, I can't stay over or whatever it is. So it's a responsibility, but it's also company. And of course, in the pandemic now, nobody's going anywhere anyway. So you might as well have a dog. And so so you've got a co-op position doing research. Like what? And so what are you specifically going to be working on for your school, like your studies next year?
So for the research position, they're focusing on queer youth and gender minorities. So far they already did like the data. Sort of putting the data together, and they've asked people to write research reports, and I'm sort of responsible for doing the literature review and making sure everything's okay and nitpicking at like things like references and grammar, that sort of thing.
Oh, that's interesting. And that's your job. So that'll be, and that starts in September.
No, so that's just the recent position that I have right now that I posted on LinkedIn.
Oh, that was okay. And so you'll be doing that during the summer?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you're working on right now. Oh, that's cool. And then I guess and it's mostly online right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then supposedly school start. And then are you working on anything? Like different for second year, or it's like you got your position and then you're just continuing your general. Like you said, it's psychology, but are you studying a specific area? I forget, like therapy or what is it?
So right now it's like general psychology degree, and then I believe in master's you can go more specific into like clinical or social work or health, that sort of thing. So in the future, I want to probably do clinical because that's the most similar to what I want to do in the future.
Which is be a therapist?
I've considered a therapist, but I think psychiatrist would fit me more.
Right, right. So therapist is kind of more just somebody who talks to people, but psychiatrist, it's, you know, more advanced. You can do drugs or, you know, prescribe drugs or whatever.
Yeah.
You could also do drugs, I guess. Yeah. Because I was thinking when I started realizing, oh my God, I wish I was a prof and everything. I was looking up my my high school friend Ben's dad because he was a prof. I think he still is at maybe he's at Cambridge now, but he was at Carleton for a bit, like a big psych prof, and he was voted like best teacher at Cambridge for 3 years, and he does TED talks and he travels around. And so yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with a degree. Like even tonight when I was doing my little stand up act on the online show, I was like, yeah, this is fun or whatever. But this is definitely something I could do on the side. Like I could spend an hour writing a few jokes after work or something and then maybe do an open stage. It's like, it doesn't need to be a career. And I'm like, oh man, I should have, if I was a PhD or like some kind of professor, it'd be so cool because then I could be the funny professor and then talk to my students. But then I'd be like, hey, everybody, I'm doing a stand-up act. They'd be like, what? Professor Rackless is doing a stand-up act. That's so cool. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess these are all things we learn and I don't know. I'm just fascinated with, yeah, like what it's like to be a student now, I guess, during the pandemic. And then, you know, these days with technology, because when I was in school, the internet wasn't around. It was just sort of starting right at the end. And so it's all pretty fascinating. Yeah. Like, what do you do? We've already talked 21 minutes. So I won't keep you too long because I know you probably have to get up and work tomorrow. But like, what do you do for fun? Like, do you go to bars or like hang out with your friends? Like, what's your schedule like? Or I guess it's different for everybody. Like you might be more of a studious working type of person. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like been hard to find balance between social life and school. But mainly, I do photo shoots on the side.
You're a photographer?
I'm a photographer. Both as like a hobby and as a business. So like, so I do portrait, and event photography.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Maybe I feel like we must've talked about that. Maybe I was saying, oh, I'll promote your photography too or something, maybe in our previous chats. Cause that's pretty cool. So yeah, so you've already got a job and research and you're doing your own photography business, but you're already more successful than I've ever been in my entire life. Very, very inspiring in a way, but depressing in another way. That's cool. And so how do you get your photography gigs? Sort of just, if you know people, or do you, you know, mention it on social media, or do you have like an Instagram for it or something?
My Instagram is just for photography at the moment, but most of my gigs come from like people I know and then like people sharing like my photos, etc. Also like prom and that sort of stuff and graduation, but this year it's not really happening. It's sort of been rescheduled, so like majority of my income is like gone.
And or so like for
rescheduled.
Yeah so for proms and you mean like, would you do that like as event photography, like walking around the whole thing, or would you be like show up and say I'm going to take some portraits of you in your prom outfit?
Mostly pre-prom, so like before people go to the event, they'll like go to like a park or something and get their photos taken.
And so you'd be hired by like the school, like it'd be sort of part of the event. Say, hey, we've got a photographer. She's going to take pictures of everybody. And then you can buy the photos from her, that kind of thing.
No, it'd be a part of, like the individual students would be hiring me.
So you wouldn't take pictures of a million people. They would just be like, hey, come to our, so you'd like be shooting like one person, or would they say, hey, all my friends, Or maybe like five friends would get together and say, I've got a photographer, let's all go to the park kind of thing?
Usually it varies, but usually it's either two people, so like a couple or like a big group of friends, and like you'd all share and then split the cost.
Oh, fun. Wow. That's pretty cool. And I guess that's the best way if there's word of mouth or whatever, like rather than trying to, you know, there's so much competition online with people with their ads and everything, and it's like better.
Yeah.
And obviously this isn't all your eggs aren't in one basket anyway. So this is just like one business and then you've got your other business. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, if anybody, if I know anybody having a big event or whatever, I'll definitely send them your way, because people are always looking for a good photographer. Wow. That's so cool. And so what was your weekend like? Just so I know what like a typical student's weekend.
Recently I've been focusing my weekend on like not school related things. Recently I've been trying to keep school stuff to weekdays, and then my weekend I'll do like cleaning or whatever, photography, or like watching TV, that sort of thing. Just so I make sure I have like a solid 2 days of break time. Yeah. And then I'm not like constantly working, especially like at home. It can feel like, oh, it's just like everything's becoming a blur.
Yeah, because you don't have that separation. I'm going to a something. You're just like, I'm still sitting here working, and then
and
you don't want to burn out. But I like that you're being productive anyways, because it's very easy for somebody to say, I'm just going to spend all week watching Netflix, or I'm going to spend 10 years sort of just, I don't know what I'm doing kind of thing. And then but you're being productive. You're working towards your goals. You've got your different businesses. That's awesome. And are your parents proud of you? Do they work, or did they work in the field, or you're just blazing new trails for the family?
So my dad did photography as a hobby. So that's sort of where I picked it up. Like, he had an interest in it, and then I sort of made it into my own business. He does like tech and engineering, that sort of thing. And then my mom works at CIBC.
Oh, cool. So a nice mix of finance and artistic and tech stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
I can see where you're getting all your various, and that's what you're doing too. You're creative and you're doing your statistics and everything. Wow. And you've got your cute dog. Well, it sounds like a very exciting life. And did you, all the response you were getting on LinkedIn from people, do you know all those people, or are they all weird strangers like me going, hey, good work? You
know? I would say half of them are just like people who I don't know, but they're still in the area, in the GTA, or we have mutual connections.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I didn't really even look at LinkedIn. I was like, I don't understand what that is. It's like job networking or something. But I think the website has changed as well. I think it's become more like a social media thing. So every now and then I'll post a video. I'm not treating it properly. I'm just posting whatever my regular daily videos are. It's, you know, here's me going for a walk and seeing a duck or something. But it's definitely a useful, because I even looked up and it looks like I've got like 15 or 18,000 followers or something. I'm like, who are these people? How did I even connect with them? I don't know. but it can definitely be good for networking, and especially, if you've got a specific thing like your psychology and, you know, that's all that you're building your empire. And also, I guess people might become interested in your photography at the same time. So would you say LinkedIn is your big social media thing, or Instagram you have for photography? Do you use Facebook or Twitter or TikTok or Snapchat or whatever people do?
I would say Instagram is the biggest platform that I have, and it's what I use the most. LinkedIn is sort of something more professional and curated towards what I'm doing in school, so like psychology.
Yeah, that definitely seems like you more than the people on Instagram I follow that are like, here's what I'm eating, or here's me on the beach, or, you know, oh, I can't wait to go back to the beach, can't wait to go back to the rave, can't wait to festivals. It's like, ugh. I was just looking at all this stuff. But what am I looking at? This is just, I feel like I'm getting dumber just from looking at these photos or whatever. So LinkedIn is more like a salad. You're like, this is good for me. This is productive. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. I went to a therapist years ago because I couldn't commit to my girlfriend at the time. And I was like, I just like meeting new people. And the therapist was like, well, what if you know, your desire to date and meet new people, what if you channel that towards professional stuff? Like you actually networked, you know, for people in your industry or comedy or whatever. I'm like, oh yeah, at the time I was like, yeah, sounds like good. I never did it, but now I realize, yeah, that's what I should have done. Settle down. And then, you know, because it is fun to network and meet people on LinkedIn. And even when I've met a lot of interesting people. Like I posted, I commented on this Sarah Blakely, who founded Spanx. She posted something about, you know, how to relax and not worry. And I commented something. It's like, I wish I knew, because I've been rethinking my whole career path, and sort of this really open post, and lots of people, it's gotten like, I don't know, like 80 likes and all these comments, and some people messaging me saying, hey, maybe I can help, you know, we help with coaching, or other people saying, hey, maybe I can connect you with, I don't know, maybe some people like for my creative talents or something. It just seemed like it is a good way that people reach out and connect with you. And it's not like Facebook is kind of people who already know you. Instagram is just a bunch of nonsense. And so, yeah, so definitely I'm glad you're using it and making connections and making things happen. And is this your first podcast that you've been interviewed on?
I was interviewed on a photography podcast before, but that was a while back.
I thought I was being sarcastic, even just by I'm asking, of course it's your first podcast you've been on. But no, of course you've already been on a photography podcast. That's interesting because podcasts are, audio usually. So it's interesting to have a podcast talking about photography. Was this somebody you knew? How did you wind up on that?
Yeah, it was someone I knew, and he was sort of just making this creative based podcast for artists specifically, and sort of the topic was just what softwares we use for editing, that sort of thing, and what we thought about the community.
Oh, that's so cool. I love things that are so specific like that, where you can then talk about the nitty-gritty of a software that you use to edit photos, and that anybody who's listening to that is probably interested in that specific thing. So it's really mm-hmm. cool to contribute to that. Or even if they're not into it, they just love to hear. Like, I always loved hearing people talk about things they're passionate about. Like in school, I had a friend, Louis, who is from France, and he loved jazz, and he took us to a jazz show. And I didn't really appreciate jazz or anything, but I loved how excited he was, going, oh, this is Ray Brown. He's this expert player. And listen to how he plays the bass or something. It's cool to hear somebody talk. Well, I'm honored to be your second podcast. This is very exciting. And I guess, yeah, so if people want to follow you, maybe I'll put your Instagram links. They can follow your photography. And you can look up Vanessa Ip on LinkedIn if you want to follow her psychological journeys. And I'm imagining your dog does not have its own Instagram like some dogs do.
She does.
Of course she does.
Because I registered her as a service dog, and she's still in training. It's sort of just to help with her sort of being excited around people too, and also get her used to university. So it's so I'll just give you the Instagram.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, I'll put the link in there. And so you're gonna getting used to university. Like, she's not enrolling as a student, but you're gonna take her there, and then she'll be like a service dog there, or.
It's sort of more personal. So she's my personal service dog, I guess. So she was my pet, and then I sort of registered her as a service dog. She's still in training, but she does help me meet new people, and then also with my mental health when we're in classes or whatever, if I'm feeling a little bit nervous.
Okay. I don't know if this is too private, but yeah, is there a specific condition that you have that she's helping with, or is it just generally, anxiety, or I don't know?
Yeah, it's definitely me feeling nervous in social situations, and then if the professor happens to call on me. I mean, they never do, but it's just in general, because with a lecture hall it can be over 500 people, so sometimes I can feel crowded or overwhelmed with the amount of people there. So she sort of helps.
Yeah, that's nice. And then, and was that related to what you were in therapy before in the past, kind of thing? And now you're like, no, I don't need that. I need a dog. And so you didn't even get her originally as a therapy dog, but then you realize, hey, we can sort of train her to help with that.
Yeah.
And then
and she likes being at school, all the attention, and then also helps when my family members who don't like dogs are coming over, she can be more calm and collected because she'll be used to meeting new people.
Right. She's not going to jump on them and they'll freak out and all mm-hmm. that. Oh, that's very cute. Oh, and you said she's a poodle or a mini poodle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute. So she's portable. Let's take her to school. She's hypoallergenic. So cute. And so why did you make her an Instagram? Just because it's fun and you're sharing her journey? Or?
Yeah, it's fun. And I feel I don't post enough about her on my Instagram because it is mainly photography related. And a few people were asking back and forth. And so it was nice for her to have her own Instagram, sort of to share, especially where she is on campus sometimes. Because I know some people will go to school specifically just to see her because she knows she's coming on that day.
Oh my gosh, she's a superstar.
I know, right?
This is hilarious. Okay, so I guess I shouldn't keep you up too late. I feel bad that we started late, but I didn't realize how fascinating this discussion would be. So hopefully we can talk another time. What is just quick, just I'm always interested in this too, just in terms of my own life improvement. Like, what is your kind of schedule? Like, what time do you go to bed and get up kind of thing? Like, how late do you stay up?
Well, back when I had school, I woke up at like 6:37, and then I would go to bed at like 11 p.m., something like that.
Yeah, so you get about 7.5 hours, 8 hours sleep kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you find that you fall asleep like right away at 11, or are you lying in bed like for an hour or two, like I am?
Oh, I'm definitely lying in bed, for like an hour or so. Just like in case something pops up, like I'll just be laying there and like I can't sleep. Oh. Or like especially in the summer from with the transition from like spring to summer, that sort of thing, like the temperatures can be iffy, so that is definitely not a good thing for sleep.
Yeah, I know. If it's too hot, for sure, that's hard. But yeah, but just the changes messes you up, you're saying? Huh. Yeah, because what I mean, my ideal schedule, I keep telling myself, go to bed at 9, because I know it's going to take me at least an hour to fall asleep. And if I fall asleep at 10, then if I get up naturally with the sun at 6 or 7, I've had my 8 or 9 hours. But then I never do it. And then if I go to bed at 11, I'm like, uh-oh. What I've been doing lately to kind of lure myself to bed is I'll tell myself, okay, I'm going to put on a podcast and put in the earbuds, and then I'll set that to shut off when it's over. But hopefully, I fall asleep beforehand. But I make the mistake, like I listen to the Ben Shapiro show, which is this conservative political commentary, and he's always, upset and yelling, and I get all worked up, and then I'm like, ah. So I don't know. I probably should be listening to Calm or one of those apps that would relax me or something. Maybe hear some rain. I'd love to live in a tent and just hear rain on the tent all the time. Do you have any thoughts about where you want to live? Like, are you going to stay in Toronto forever, or do you have like a place you're like, no, I want to go to Harvard and live in somewhere else, or I don't know.
I definitely want to travel in the future. I'm not sure about education. Like, I'm still unsure about where I would do my master's in the US or here, that sort of thing. It's just something to like think about, and I haven't really considered the pros or cons, like just finishing first year, I mean.
Yeah, no. I mean, when I was in first year, I'd never gone anywhere. I'm definitely not thinking about it, but you seem wise already, so I'm glad you're making the most of every year. 'Cause yeah, when you're young, like I realize, I look back now, I'm like, I did 4 years of high school and I had six OACs, and I'm like, I could just, or maybe I had four, and if like I was like, I could take two in the summer and then just get to university first. But I'm like, nah, let's do another year of high school. And I only did four courses. And so it was like class spare, class spare, class. It was like a waste of time. And then I look back, I'm like, I did 4 years of university, but then I went to college for a year, but then I just spent a year looking for work. And I'm like, I keep looking back on God, with an entire year, you could do so much, right? You could do a master's, you could travel for a year. So it's very easy. I mean, I guess I look back and I'm like, ah, I got all the time in the world. Although even the past 5 years I kind of wasted, so I don't know. But I'm glad you've realized now it's important to use every minute and every day and be productive and be working towards your goals, and you don't look back and go, ugh, why did I just do nothing for that long or whatever? And then yeah, travel's great too. I went to Europe to visit Louis for a month once and never went back, and it was like still the best time of my life. And I'm like, I could have done that every month, every summer for like years and stuff. So don't waste that time. Enjoy everything you're doing, and that is great. And then yeah, at the same time I realized, not everybody's guaranteed a whole life of nonsense. Like, there's that YouTuber who had cystic fibrosis, who's probably just died or whatever last year, and she's very young and stuff. So you never know what'll happen. So just make the most of all your time. That's my depressing therapy message for the day. But thank you so much for giving me insights. I've been thinking a lot about, what would it be like to be in university now and stuff. And so it's great to hear what's going on and how great you're doing. And yeah, hopefully you'll come on the show again and keep us updated. And maybe you could bring your dog on. And what's your dog's name?
Her name is Coco.
Coco. Of course it is. Coco. Well, say, yeah, it's a perfect name for a mini poodle. All right. Well, say hi to mini Coco for me. And yeah, it's like 10:34 now, so you can start doing your 11 p.m. bedtime thing. And great. And I'll let you know when this is posted. So was this all good? Do you have anything else you want to say to the fans or anything?
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. And this has been Vanessa Ip on Celebrity Josh.